everybody. This is Sarah Benincasa, and this is Well, This Isn't Normal. I'm hanging out with my cat, Polly, and I mean, it's been a day. I just found out that the incredible playwright Terrence McNally died, and that is really something. He was 81 years old. May he rest in peace. He died in Sarasota, Florida, of complications from the COVID-19 virus. And we're going to hear a lot about elders who succumb to this, and about younger people, too. I've been hearing more and more about younger people who are hospitalized, or even a few who've died, and it's really scary. I mean, I know it's frightening. I'm very glad that you're here and you're listening. I'm glad that I'm here and I'm talking to you. It's important for us, if we can, to lean into the toolkit that you may have for healthy coping mechanisms and to add some new tools to that toolkit. And so I'm going to take a deep breath and I invite you to do it with me. And you can keep doing that while I read this brand affiliate copy. I'm not reading it. I'm just saying it to you. You can get 20% off plus free shipping at matrushka.com with the offer code SARA. You can also get free shipping plus 20% off at instagram.com/matrushkastyle. If you see what you want, direct message them with offer code SARA and tell them what you want, and they will make it for you and send it to you. That's matrushka.com or at matrushkastyle. I also want to shout out my friend, Jeanette Goldstein. I'm not a brand affiliate. I just want to help her out. And so I asked if she would offer you guys, help you guys out in a way, if you so desire, if you need something for your bosom or your bottom. They've got panties, they've got bras, they've got swimsuits, they've got all kinds of cute shit. And so we came up with, I invented the offer code TITSMCGEE. Very exciting. So if you go to JeanetteBras.com, pick out something you like, email info@JeanetteBras.com. That's info@JeanetteBras.com. And say, hey, I've got offer code TITSMCGEE for 15% off plus free delivery in these United States. And I would like that bra, and I would like that nightie, and I would like that robe, and I would like this, and this, and this, and this, you know. Go wild within reason, which I suppose means not going wild. Get you something pretty. I have found that tidying my home, getting rid of excess, and selecting specific things that spark joy or at least pleasure has been quite lovely. So, you know, if you need some support of the physical kind, get you some. I have so many Jeanette bras and so many Matrushka items from over the years. All right, well, today we're talking to my friend Ingrid Haas. She is a writer, a director, an actress, and a Canadian. Imagine. So we get into some tough territory today with what we talk about. We talk about pregnancy loss, which is a very difficult subject. It is very scary and sad as a topic, and it's not something that gets spoken of that much in public, and that's why Ingrid speaks about it. And also, she and I are similar, and she and I have talked about this privately, but this is not a secret. We process things, grief, difficulty, sometimes even joy, through writing. I mean, I jumped right into doing a daily podcast. There's a reason for that. When I knew that I would be confined as somebody who has experienced agoraphobia and suicidal depression, I knew that it would be appropriate for me to do something regular in addition to my day job, which keeps me busy, and in addition to my outside consulting, which keeps me busy, and you know, freelance writing, blah, 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 blah. Everybody's busy. Everybody's got stuff, whatever it may be. But I knew that the regularity of communicating with people, whether it's talking to you all, or it's talking to friends or acquaintances for these interviews, I knew it would be good for me. And I process by storytelling. And I also am helped by asking questions and listening. And that's what I was able to do with Ingrid. So I hope that you will listen and enjoy. Check out gentlebarn.org. You will hear us make reference to that wonderful organization, gentlebarn.org. And I hope that you enjoy our chat, because even though there is sadness and there's darkness to it, I think it's ultimately uplifting. And I think it's instructive. It's instructive in the sense that I can look at Ingrid and see what she's doing and what she's dealing with and find inspiration, not in a bullshit, like, stupid biopic way or something. I don't know. You know what I mean? Not in this, like, treacly, everything's fine way, but just, oh, okay. That's one way to create motivation to keep going. So, I hope you enjoy it, and I'll talk to you at the end, and we'll do a little relaxation exercise. Hi, everybody. I'm here with my friend, and now yours, filmmaker, actress, writer, raconteur, Canadian.
That's right.
Dwelling in these United States. It's Ingrid Haas. Hi, Ingrid.
Hi, Sarah. Thanks for having me. Thanks for getting me out of quarantine. Sort of. We're not this face to face.
No, it's auditory quarantine. And thank you for your patience with me as I had to move this around. And we tried different forms of recording, and now we are doing this.
I mean,
really the way the pilgrims did it.
Thank you so much for thanking me, because I've got a lot going on right now. I'm very busy. And so you're welcome for sharing some of my very precious time. Just kidding. Today on the docket, I've got Little Women to watch. That's my day. How are you spending your time?
I'm spending my time doing this podcast, doing my day job, and I'm going to be fostering a cat soon who has 6 toes on each paw.
Oh,
so
my gosh.
That's what I'm up to.
That is
very exciting.
So cute. That is so cute.
Yeah, this cat, her name is Polly for polydactyl, which she is apparently. So her owner is an elderly person who had to go into assisted living, and then her first foster just found out that she lost her job. So her first foster is now having to schlep her, you know, work at home stuff back. Like basically she had like a work computer and stuff, as far as I know. And she had to bring it, drive 3 hours to company headquarters to drop it off. And so she can't afford to foster this kitty cat right now. And I'm really glad that I get to take her in. But like, speaking of major fucking inconveniences and disappointments, you've gone through a few things lately, mm-hmm. but talk to me about South by Southwest. I was just talking to Alex Winter, who by the time people hear this, they will have heard him on the podcast, hopefully. And he talked about how they made the call to cancel their world premiere of his Frank Zappa documentary.
Where was that supposed to
premiere?
Working
out South by Southwest.
Oh.
And they had to cancel it, and he had to call it, and they called it a little bit early. And he said that, you know, I asked him, were some people upset? And he said, you know, yeah, not everybody was on board with it when they made that call, but it became very apparent that was the right thing to do, obviously very swiftly. And, you know, they had to cancel their tour and everything. So I know that you are a first time director.
Yes. So I wrote my film Still Wild about a year ago, probably right March of last year. I wrote it and we shot it last May. And it was about a surprise pregnancy that ended in a miscarriage with me and my partner, who's still my partner, my baby daddy, Devin. And, you know, I was really floored and rocked by the experience of having a miscarriage. I felt like it was the biggest, most important, traumatic, scary thing going on in my life. And I wasn't supposed to talk about it. I felt like I didn't know anybody who had miscarriages. The only person I knew who had a miscarriage was my mom, who sort of talked about it when I was growing up. She had a miscarriage before me, and she had a miscarriage before my older sister. And she just She didn't talk a lot about it. I know she found out she was having a miscarriage because she was playing tennis. And you know they wear white when they play tennis in the 80s. And she started bleeding while playing tennis. And that's sort of the only image I ever had about a miscarriage. And so when I found out I had a miscarriage, we went to the doctor for a 12-week sort of checkup. End of the first trimester, we were about to tell all of our friends and family. And she said there was no heartbeat. And it was like the world came crashing down. And of course, Ingrid Haas, otherwise known as Pull Up Your Bootstraps Haas, was like, I have an audition to go to. Please drive me to the audition. That's how I dealt with it. Go. I asked Devin to wait in the car. I walk into the audition. I kind of forgot what the audition was for. It was for a woman who is pregnant in labor with her husband. I'm not joking.
Jesus.
It didn't even make it into the film because I was like, no one's going to, that's too written. That's too written. So I'm sitting outside of the audition, texting some friends, crying. They're like, Ingrid, you're paired with John, Mr. White Man over there, like tall, blonde. Guy. And I'm sitting here crying, talking to my sister, texting her, and I walk up to him and I'm like teary-eyed and I look like shit probably. And I just said to him, "Hi, John. I know we're supposed to like get to know each other, so this is what's this is what's popping off in my life. I was supposed to have a baby with my husband, and we just found out that there's no heartbeat. And so I'm having a miscarriage, I guess. I don't know. Nobody talks about it. So I'm going to talk about it. And I'm not ashamed. And this is just what's happening. So this is my day." And he was like, and then I looked at his face and I was like, oh man, this guy is not going to know what to say to me. And why did I say this? I'm sharing just because it's too much for me right now. And he doesn't miss a beat. And he says, "Well, last night, I donated sperm to my neighbors who are a lesbian couple because they're one of them's ovulating today. And I'm after this, I'm going to go home and donate some more. So I guess, you know, we're both just going through stuff today." And I was like, John.
Oh, my God.
John.
John, go fuck yourself.
Yeah.
Again.
I mean, I've never seen John before. He could have been a figment of my imagination. Like, it was so, and so then I obviously was like, okay, this is theatrical. I have to make something about this because that little moment makes it into the film in a different way. But I just felt like, wow, by me sharing and not being ashamed and just saying to a complete stranger what's really going on instead of stifling it and isolating myself in my own pain, he was able to share something really intimate and vulnerable and something that was really going on for him that felt, you know, I'm not to put words or feelings, but like felt scary or the unknown or whatever it was. And we really had this beautiful connection. And I don't even know if his name is John, but I love him so much because that was...
Wait, you love him?
I thought that was like so nice. I thought it was a really nice moment.
I mean, okay, I, as your friend, like, I like that he opened up to
yes,
you.
Yes, because I really thought, like, he's going to be like, I don't know what to say to you.
But, like, as your friend, I would, like, punch somebody in the face who was like, well, I've been, like, you know, donating sperm and, like, jerking off into cups, so,
okay,
like,
no,
yeah,
I think you are having an experience right now based on a more recent experience where somebody did, I mean, I guess we have to share it to make this make sense, but after my miscarriage, I posted about it online. Now I'm making it very confusing. Okay.
Yeah, let's talk about well, we don't have to go in depth. It's basically you had the miscarriage that became the inspiration for this short film. And then there was a more recent miscarriage.
Right. It was a pregnancy loss. So,
yeah, it was a pregnancy loss. Yes.
So, so I made the film. So many people donated so much time and money to Still Wild. Most people donated their time. the film did end up costing me $8,000 out of my own pocket that I was just like, some women buy Chanel bags. I make a movie. That's just what's happening right now. That's not to say I don't one day want a Chanel bag, if anybody's listening. but so I paid for it. I made it. I was like, I have to do it. I've never in my life felt like this is something I have to do. And I had to direct it and I had to write it and I had to star in it. And that's just how it had to go. And so I'm so proud of it and I'm so excited and I can't wait for people to see it. And it didn't get into Sundance and that was a bummer. And then it got into South by Southwest and I was like, oh my God. And to be honest, I haven't been in the indie film world, you know, in this way. I didn't really know so much about South by. I knew a lot of my friends who are in comedy have premiered their films there. And when I told Devin we got into South by, like, his excitement told me how I should feel in a way. And so we were so stoked and we were pregnant also. And at South by Southwest for the premiere, I would have been 6 months pregnant. But we lost the pregnancy at 5 and a half months to 22 weeks. And the day that I had the surgery to take out that beautiful fetus from my body, I was put under on Friday, March 9th, I believe, or maybe March 6th. And when I came to, when I woke up, guys, this is my book. This is the beginning of the book. Listen up now. when I woke up, Devin was like, okay, are you okay? He took the crystals out of my hair because I put a bunch of crystals in my hair because I knew Cedar Sinai would be like, what are these rocks? Get rid of them. But I hid them inside a bun.
You hid crystals in your bun before going in for the dilation and extraction surgery?
Yes, I did.
Oh my God. That is, let me just interrupt you briefly to say you are such a wonderful person. I'm so glad that our mutual friend, Molly Mary McGlynn, introduced us. You're so funny and acerbic and witty and sarcastic and smart. And then also like deeply gentle, almost like a gentle barn where we went recently. But like, I love that you're so fucking like pull up your bootstraps, practical. And then also you're like, this is a perfect example of your fucking personality. You're like, oh, well, I put on a struggle bun so that I could go in for one of the most sad experiences of my life. And I did include crystals inside. Like, you smuggled crystals inside a struggle bun.
A very good term. Yes, I have one on right now. But no crystals. But yes, I hid a pink rose quartz and a white quartz inside the bun. And then they make you put on a bonnet, a hospital bonnet or whatever it's called. You know what I'm talking about? Like a shower cap.
Yes, yeah.
Yeah. So I was so happy. I was like, they're for sure going to get rid of them. And I woke up and they were there. And the nurse was like, I put one of the crystals in your hand when I woke up.
She did that.
I guess from like after it happened for when I woke up, like it was in my hand because the bonnet was gone.
God bless that nurse. Wow.
I know. God bless so that sweet. Nurse. But I mean, I've never had terrible experiences in hospitals because I haven't been hospitalized. A lot of people, you know, my grandmother was hospitalized and died, but it wasn't like I had this trigger experience. Oh God, I'm going to the hospital. Bad things happen. I've never felt that, but I did. I was like, oh, like they didn't let Devin into the room for so long. And it was like, why? Anyway, I woke up and Devin basically said, don't look at your phone. So I was like, give me my phone. And
yeah, that's the number one thing that's going to, I love Devin and I've known Devin, not well, but I've known Devin since we were 19 years old.
Since you were babies. And,
since we were tiny babies at Emerson College going overseas to a castle to live for a while. And he's such a wonderful, like kind, gentle, like unfairly hot person. But that's 100% the worst thing to say to you. Not the worst. It's not the worst. It's like just, oh, that's going to make Ingrid do that thing.
Yeah, nobody. Yeah, what are you talking about? Like, but it would also make you do that thing. Like, you wouldn't be
Yeah, it would kind of make anybody do that thing. And also, like, it's a testament to how much Devin, like, loves you and was probably sad that he, like, didn't realize in that moment that saying that would make you be like, turn on all available communications devices and, like, activate.
Yeah. I mean, he looked the same way that I looked to him to see how exciting and important South By was the exact reflection with the disappointment. So he was saying that South By was canceled. And yeah. I was sort of too into it to really understand what that meant, because there's a few days coming up to March 6th that people were saying, do you think it's going to be canceled? And Devin and I both kind of were like, no, of course not.
Yeah, and also at that time, we got to go to, I was so honored that I got to do this. We went to, you wanted to see some animals and be outdoors. So we went so this happened on a Friday, and you knew that you were experiencing pregnancy loss and would have to have this surgery. And so we went the weekend before, we went to the Gentle Barn, which is a vegan propaganda place that is also a wonderful, wonderful sanctuary for farm animals who've been abused. And I had never been, and we went, and of course I was a million years late, so I missed the vegan propaganda talk. But it made me quit pork, because, and it made me love Beyond Burgers.
Because you hugged all these pigs and cows. I love Gentle Barn so much, and I am so happy that you got to experience it and experience it in a real way without the propaganda. But it also, it just affected you, because when you're around animals that we eat on a regular basis, but we are never around those animals, it's very easy to compartmentalize and be like, bacon, yum, yum, yum. But then when you see them,
exactly,
and you see how big they are there because they've been injected with hormones, and you just, it's like, it's a true wake up call. It's very hard to eat meat after that.
And it's amazing to me that you were going through something so intense, and yet your instinct, which is very healing, was also to go to this place and support something great. And so we went, and mm-hmm. we talked a bit, and we ran into some celebrities, and
we love the vegan celebs.
We truly got the like biodiesel fueled Cadillac experience of the Gentle Barn, which, by the way, folks, if you're listening, go check out the gentlebarn.org. Wait, I'm going to look it up right now as I'm talking.
It's in Simi Valley, right?
Yes. And they've got another one somewhere. I'm looking it up right now, because in every episode of this podcast, I try to shout out at least one really cool nonprofit.
Oh, and I love it.
Yeah. And you know, a lot of times it's been ones that are, well, they're all being directly affected by what's happening. And so even though, like, people can't go to see them, so that means that people aren't buying tickets to go to see them, which means that they are negatively affected by it. So if you go to gentlebarn.org, you'll see that they are offering right now Facebook and Instagram Live. Ellie and Jay are the owners, and they are really cool. Like, this is just such a cool organization. Mm-hmm. And I really dig it. And you know, during normal times, you can visit in California or in Tennessee, because there's one.
I think one in Missouri too. Yeah.
So you can donate to them online, and they just do amazing work, and they've got some good, you know, corporate donors as well. But my fear is that a lot of, And I think this is reality too, right? Is that a lot of these organizations that are going to pull up Titan things, and I suspect that some companies might choose to pull back on their charitable donations. I don't know if that's true.
Yeah, but we the economy is going to be altered no matter what, and so everything's going to be affected. It's going to be a ripple effect. We just don't know to what degree.
Oh, 100%. Yeah. And so anyway, it was really special to be a part of the experience of going with you and Devin and hanging out with these lovely creatures. And then, you know, so everybody, like, please keep this in mind, to just as we're building this story, you know, Ingrid has been getting ready to do this. We had talked about, like, oh, are you going to take a picture on the red carpet for your premiere with the pregnancy?
I bought an outfit. I mean, this was a red carpet, a step and repeat, for something that I not only didn't just act in, but I created this thing. And so many of my actors and producers and DP, director of photography, were all going to be there. My parents were flying down. Devin, who edited and produced it, and baby daddy, his family and family's friends were flying down from Rochester because it was also his 40th birthday in South by Southwest. And they're all big music fans as well. I bought all these outfits. I rented some clothes from online to save the world by not buying fast fashion, which are all hanging in my closet. I should just do a fashion show now.
I mean, you've got so much, like, you've got so many maternity clothes. You were stocked up. This was going to be this big thing. We were all so excited for you. Like, wow, this is, you know, Ingrid had this devastating miscarriage experience, pregnancy loss experience, and she made art with it. And we are so excited she gets to have this premiere at South by Southwest. And for people who don't know, a lot of times people will bring short films, right? You make your short film it's never going to be in a theater. Probably you're not going to make money off it.
Right.
Do it for the love of it, because you want to tell a story. And also because that becomes your calling card so that studios go, oh, hey, we want to work with this director. This is how a lot of people get their first jobs, being a real deal director.
Yeah.
It's like you put in all this money and effort. So this was like the happy ending at the end of the beautiful story of, like, and she's pregnant.
Yeah. Yeah. So for all those Q&As, all those interviews, I was going to be able to share this happy ending story that now we're 6 months pregnant and I have this miscarriage story. And so then the baby and the movie premiere are lost in the same day. And
Jesus Christ.
And it's a bit much. And then very quickly after that, coronavirus took over the world. And so it's been so much, but I have to say the bright side, not bright side, but just one thing that I am enjoying with all of this insanity is the outside world matches my inside life, which is dark and gloomy and sad. And it's kind of nice that the world's not moving on right now. We all are kind of huddled in, and I have real deep permission to sort of heal from this loss without pressure to move on quickly. And so I am grateful for a lot of things, of course. Doctors, nurses, all of them on the front lines. But just in terms of my insulated tiny little world, I am sort of grateful for just being able to, like, sit in my bubble and be sad or feel whatever I'm feeling. Because this was just a big loss. But South by Southwest is doing an online premiere for the shorts, whoever wants to participate. And I, after much negotiation with my crew and just myself figuring out if that's the right move, I decided I made this movie for the people, and the people are at home and they need to be entertained. So within the next 2 weeks, it'll be online.
That is so awesome. And I am so happy that is happening, and I'm super proud of you, and, like, really proud to be your friend, no matter what. Obviously, I try not to be friends with people who I'm not proud to be friends
with.
And if yeah, and if I am, it's because at first I thought they were great, and then they turned out to be, like, terrible, so then they're not really my friends. So basically I only have friends I'm proud of,
right? And,
I will just say, oh man, I can't. You know what? I will say this.
Say it. Name names. Name who you ate.
I can't be super. This is so shady. I'm not going to say what it is. Look, we're not proud of everything our friends do all the time, right? And so I do stuff that people are like, yo, you know, you have to check somebody and have a talk with them. And in this case, I'm not checking somebody or having a talk with them. But, you know, there are some times when when people post things online, and I've done it in many times that are tone deaf, it's happened. Trust me. Absolutely. It's happened recently, I'm sure. But sometimes when friends do things like, here's an example, they think they're being really noble, right? And you can tell they think they're being really noble, or maybe they just think they're being helpful. And they post tips that are like, hold black obsidian. It'll help strengthen your immune system. And you're like, just pseudoscience bullshit. Like, I love crystals, dude. Totally. Super fun. Get the ones that are responsibly sourced. You know, whatever. That's cool. But like, when people post shit that's like, just sing this song and it'll like strengthen your soul and your immune system. And it's like, no. Stop at soul. Don't go to immune system.
Right.
Because don't spread misinformation. Anyway, that's me going off on a fucking tangent.
But what are you getting to? I'm confused.
What I'm saying is that I'm not proud of friends who do shit like that, who spread misinformation and like incorrect information in a global pandemic. When I see friends who went out for St. Patrick's Day, for example,
like they nuts.
That makes me want to end somebody with my own hands, but I can't do it right now. So, you know, this is an interesting time to work with anger and reactions and recovery.
Yes, but I just want to only yourself.
Correct. Controlling only myself, living in my own experience. But I do want to return to saying something positive about you, which is that I think the way that you're doing this is great. And, you know, I want to release this episode ahead of when the short is available.
Yeah.
But I'm gonna release it in advance of that, but perhaps we could do another chat for the day that the short drops online to remind people. And of course, you know, I'm always down to like help promote your stuff.
She's the best. And, by the way, Airbnb was not giving me a refund. And Sarah, as you all know, she's got a following. She's got an online and in-person following. Her personality, her love, her friendship goes far and wide across borders and across seas. And she was able to help get Airbnb's attention because they were being real ding-dongs and were not offering South by Southwest filmmakers. And Sarah, you really helped by making them respond because you've got a lot of followers and they do not want you as an enemy. And so thank you much.
No, of course, you're welcome. And that's, you know, that is something that I am happy to do in such a situation because it was entirely appropriate to.
They have since offered everybody refunds.
Good. Because I knew that if they, they don't like, I mean, the people who are running social media for them understand that what they understand perhaps more, I would say, than the people actually, like my guess would be, and I don't know, my guess would be the people who doing Airbnb help and Airbnb, the social media stuff, they probably knew immediately this is going to be a shitstorm. We have to refund people, but they're not the decision makers. Mm-hmm. So I knew that, like, as with anything else, if people online were like, hey, this sucks, please help, that's going to get back to the folks up top who are going to make a decision, who are going to have to make a decision. So I knew this could be part of that. In addition to my interest personally and my friend not being out like $1,500 or whatever it was.
Yeah, that's exactly how much it was. It was really frustrating. And then I ended up writing a very impassioned email, which included, by the way, just to circle back to South By, I hadn't announced on social media that I was pregnant. And my plan was to announce it on the day of my premiere. Like, I made this film and this is why I made this film and we have a happy ending. But instead I had to, I didn't have to, but the film, the first time I went through the miscarriage, I did not tell people and people didn't know I was pregnant. And then I was going through this very traumatic experience alone where, I mean, I called my mom to tell her I was pregnant and had a miscarriage within the same phone call. So the second pregnancy was very different. And I told people right away because, and I did some stand up about it. Like, God forbid you tell people you're pregnant and you are one out of four women who experiences a pregnancy loss. God forbid they're there for you when you need them. Like, the it doesn't even make sense why we don't tell people. So I decided to make a post about my loss because I was like, this is what's happening. And I feel confident enough in my pain to know that I'm not alone. And let me shine some light here on people who are also going through this and don't feel that same confidence or whatever it is. And I got so many messages from women, complete strangers, who felt seen and heard and had never, you know, spoken about it. Or one woman wrote me that she had 7 miscarriages in a row. And it's like, some people have never talked to anybody about this. You know, some people really don't tell a soul, barely talk about it with their partners because men, as excited as they are to have their son or daughter, often don't really experience a pregnancy until they're holding a baby or until the baby's like ruining their lives with crying through the night. So it can be a very isolating experience. But so this is all to say to your listeners, I would love for you to watch this film. It is a funny take on it. It's all comedians who are in it. Sabrina Jalees, who's one of the stars of Carol's Second Act on CBS. Barry Rothbart.
She's great.
She is so good.
And Barry's great.
Barry Rothbart, who's really great, who's just been cast in 2 things. Who knows if they will make it? But he's constantly working. And so many great people. Christina Fernandez, Juzo Yoshida, and Cassandra James. I've got a great cast and, you know, so many people worked really, really hard. And I'm confident that people are going to see it. And I actually think, you know, a lot of short films get lost on the festival route. Like, I don't know, you know, how I've watched a lot of short films, but that's because I'm now a short filmmaker. And I don't know how many people actually watch short films. And if there's an audience for them outside of the festival. So I'm really excited to see what this online situation is gonna do for filmmakers. I think it'll be good. I think everything's moving online. And I was very excited for the festival experience to meet all the community and Austin and all that. But if anything good can come out of it, I'm excited to, you know, have people see the film in a different way. And I'll rent out a movie theater one day. I need to see it on the big screen.
Yeah, like, we'll do that. It'll be super fun. By we, I mean, I will be in the audience, obviously. But that will happen. But hopefully people who are at home are will be able to watch it on their TVs and laptops. And also, there are so many people who've been through it and or who have friends who've been through it. And you know, it's going to, in addition to entertaining them, I think it's going to help them. I mean, I've shared with you and I've shared publicly that I had a miscarriage when I was, God, I was like 25 and I didn't know I was pregnant. And I think I probably would have had an abortion. I'm not sure. I can't really like Monday morning quarterback or whatever it's called my decision. But so it's very different. It's not something one can conflate with other experiences. However, I do know that I didn't even understand what it was or accept it as such for years. And I think that is very much because I, by that point, had not really had many friends who had it and people didn't talk about it. People still don't. But the difference between now and 2006 is that we have much more of an internet and much more of a community online that does choose to share about these things. And so, so it's even the basics of, you know, it would have helped if I even had the basics of medical information to understand aftercare and what might happen. Mm-hmm. And so you never know who you're going to help. Like, yes, there will be people who've also experienced this in the second and third trimester and experienced pregnancy loss in the way that you did most recently. But there will also be like people who just don't know what it is or have never heard of it, or it seems like it only happens to other people. And also people who don't know that you can talk about it later and that talking about it can be healing. And also just people who want to watch a good fucking short film.
Yes. Yes to all of that. yes to just being a really fun movie, which you have to see. You haven't even seen it yet.
I know. I'm just fully recommending it. Like, what if it comes out and it turns out it's just you being like, everybody fucking sucks, and like you've just lied about the whole plot line, and it's just like a very weird rant from a bunker that's a vlog? Like, that would be a pretty cool prank that you played.
I would. I've never been a big pranker, but I think that's a great idea.
Wow, we all really got punked.
Like, I can just get off my damn soapbox and I'm just like doing a Shakespearean monologue.
I feel like really this would be a very Andy Kaufman fake out that you've worked fucking diligently on, may I add. But I suspect it's actually about pregnancy loss.
I wish I was that cool. Yes, oh, it's an earnest film.
Where can people go to learn more about you in general and, you know, enjoy your
work? Hit me up on Instagram. Get me on the Instagram at Ingrid Haas, 2 A's, 1 S, HAAS. I'm not really big on Twitter, but I'm also there at iHaas. But Instagram is where you'll learn about me, where we can interact. I share a lot about my life on there. If I've got cool shows coming up, I put them there. And I just want to connect with people, you know? So let's connect. Let's make some art and have our turn our pain into art. That's what's up.
Yeah, that's the most healing thing. I always feel like I say sometimes that when you laugh into the darkness, you shrink the demons that live there, which you don't kill them. They're still there. Like, you still right. have your shit, but they're less terrifying. Hopefully.
Exactly.
Well, thank you, Ingrid. This has been
delightful.
Thank
you. I love you. You are such a fun, good friend. I'm so happy you're doing this. I feel less alone because you're in this world.
Oh, I love you too. That means a lot to me. Thank you.
I will be sure to let you know when Ingrid's short film is available online for everyone to see, and I hope you will go say hi to her online or just, you know, look up her work, learn more about her. She's cool. Thank you so much for being here. I promised you a relaxation exercise, so here we go. This is an exercise that is very easy. All of them are pretty easy, I think. It just sort of depends on which one is more appealing to you. So in this exercise, it is a breathing exercise, but what we're going to do is do a visualization at the same time. And the visualization involves a white light coming into your body. So what I want you to do is lay flat on your back if you can, or if you need to be supported in some way, if you need to be sitting up, if you need to be leaning, whatever it is, you can do this. But I'm going to guess that you're flat on your back. I like to put a pillow under my knees, which might be good for you as well. Do what makes you comfortable. And lay with your arms down by your sides in a way that's comfortable. It doesn't have to be rigid in the least. And also turn your palms so that they face the sky. That is a good way to do this. And you can let your feet fall one to either side if you want to. Sometimes it's more comfortable to do this. If you've got back issues, you may prefer doing it with your sort of feet flat on the floor so that your knees are bent. But whatever you want is good. Sometimes I'll do it in a kind of butterfly position with almost like sitting cross-legged and then laying back, which sounds weird. I've even done this while in a version of tree pose while laying flat on my back in what looks like a yoga tree pose. But no matter what, let's say you're just laying in your back, almost like in Shavasana, flat on your back, legs straight down. Your arms, of course, on either side with your palms facing up. So what we're going to do is start at your toes, and we're going to picture that every time you breathe in down into your belly, you're drawing in a little bit of healing white light into your body. So it first just reaches into your toes. So you inhale Then you let it do kind of an internal massage on your toes, and then you exhale. And it just quietly withdraws from your toes. It drains out of there. And now you can inhale again and bring it all the way in your feet up to, but not quite touching your ankles yet. You can move your feet around if you want, and then breathe out. Almost just like a, it's almost like a wave is sort of coming into your body and then gradually withdrawing. So let's breathe in again. Let's bring it up just past your ankles and then breathe that white light out. And now let's inhale up your calves to just below your knees. And exhale out. And we keep doing this. And you can keep doing this on your own and picture it going into your knees and a little bit above. And then out. And you can walk yourself through this anytime you want to. And you can listen, if it makes you feel better to do it quickly, if you're really anxious, it might feel better first to bring it all the way up to your belly first. And then breathe that out. And then the next time you breathe in, all the way up to the crown of your head, even above your head, into some sort of magical aura that you may or may not actually have. And then breathe it out. You know, it's kind of, it feels like an internal cleansing. It's a nice dose of relaxation for the whole body. So you can go as incrementally and in tiny increments as you want, or you can do it in like two big waves. And then when you're done, if you find that you need it again, repeat it. This is incredibly helpful for getting you into a state of relaxation so that you can sleep. Well, I wish you the best. I'm thinking of you. I am thinking good things. I am hoping you are okay. Please continue to support great organizations like gentlebarn.org. Always going to shout out the Actors Fund for everyone in entertainment, actorsfund.org. And of course, you can support this podcast at patreon.com/sarahbenincasa. Thank you so much, and I'll talk to you soon.